This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Remember God's Promises.
This morning my sermon is entitled, Remember God's Promises. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? May I see your hands? Oh, come on now. I know there's probably more than that. Kind of embarrassed to admit it now because you know by tomorrow you're going to forget it. Or as we say in Italian, you're going to forget about it. God built into the human psyche the capacity to forget. And that capacity is a gift from Him. Where would we be physically and emotionally if we couldn't forget our past pains, disappointments, disillusionments, fears, and losses? If all that a woman would ever do is remember the desperate pain of that first pregnancy, there'd probably be a lot less people on the planet today, right? But somehow or another, we forget those things. Paul writes in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not trapped in the past, not caught in all the disappointments that life can throw at a person, but know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can get to a good place in our state of mind. We don't have to be victims or prisoners of the past. So why would we allow ourselves to be such? Why would we allow ourselves to be victimized and put in chains and handcuffed to the things that used to have possession over us? God says that we can move forward. We can forget and we can get to a better place. Forgiving and forgetting means you don't live in the events of the past. Rather, you learn from them and you move on. It's been said those who don't learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. That's probably all of us. Every single one of us have had experience of, well, I'll never do that again. And how long does that last? As Christians, we read many instances in which God tells us, however, that there are some things that are too important to forget and therefore must be remembered. Pains and things like that, it would be wonderful to forget them and move on. But certain things we must remember. The word remember is a verb, which means it's an action word. It's defined as to recall to the mind through an act of memory, to recall to the mind with effort or determination. The definition tells us that remembering is going to take effort on our part. You're part of this. If you're going to remember something, you're going to have to commit it to memory. You're going to have to repeat it. It's going to have to be part of your DNA. Some of the things to remember are that important. The first occurrence of the word remember or forget not is in the Bible is found in Genesis 9. The great flood has taken place. Waters are receding. God speaks to Noah. He has given Noah a covenant, a promise to humanity. The world will never again be destroyed by flood. God then gives a visible token of that promise, almost like a wedding band is a visible token of the promises made in marriage. God rings after the rain with a rainbow. There's His visible promise. And He says this in Genesis 9, 14 and 15. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, then the bow shall be seen in the cloud. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. When we see a rainbow, it's not just a natural phenomenon. We're seeing a promise. A promise that God has made. A promise never to inundate the planet with water again. Oh yeah, there are floods all around the world, but they're just localized and regionalized. He'll never forget a promise that He makes, and He will always keep the promises that He does make. He'll never forget, and a promise is something God has made and will always keep. Paul brings to mind a promise regarding life storms, the ones that would flood your heart and mind with fear and anxiety, the storms that feel like we'll never survive them. These are the ones that kind of stand opposite you in the ring, punch you in the gut, and down you go, battered and bloody and bleeding. You almost hear the referee start to count. You're KO'd. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then, Christian, comes the promise in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not be destroyed. There's hope. There's the promise of hope. That young man I mentioned in my prayers earlier, who took his own life in despair and desperation and hopelessness. We've taken the source of hope away from so many of our millennials, who are the most unchurched generation in American history. We've told them there is no such thing as God, that technology and science have proven that there is no God. That's a lie. Science and technology have not proven there is no God. Nobody can prove that. It's something we believe by faith, and we trust in our reason because we see the evidence of the Creator in all aspects of our life. We stare into the eyes of a storm, raise our fist mark with God's promises of victory over the enemy, and then the battle begins, and the fight goes on and on and on and on, and then a bell sounds. The result, Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise, crush Satan under your feet. Surely the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Amen. And that's the end. You've been through those storms. Storms you never thought you would have victory over. Things you never thought you'd be able to put in balance and perspective. Things that you said, I don't know if I can survive this. I really would like to give it all up. But God said, look, all you have to do is hang on by your fingertips. I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to get you to the place where whatever it is you need to make it through, it may not come to an end the way you want it to come, but I'm going to get you through this. Just hang on and don't let go of me. In your lifetime as a Christian with God's help, you've seen defeat turn into victory. Chaos and confusion turn to order. Pessimism and despair turn to optimism and hope. Fearfulness turn to courage. But we're going to have to work to remember God's promises in the storm and as it passes by. It is estimated that there are 7,487 promises that God's made to human beings in the Bible. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. God has promised to be faithful to you in keeping his promises. So he just doesn't make them to fill this book up with. He makes them for you to receive, to claim. These are promises that are living promises. They're not dead on the pages of a book. They're alive and living, and you can count on God to keep his promise. And when you find a promise that God has given you in that particular moment when you needed it the most, claim it. Say, God, you promised to give me peace in the midst of a storm. Claim it. And watch what happens. God says, taste and see, the Lord is good. You've got to experience him. And you experience him when you go through some of the roughest times. Lamentations 3:23. They, God's mercies, are new every morning. And what? What's the word next? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. He's not going to abandon you in your time of need. He's not going to forsake you just as when you need him most. How many fair weather friends are there? You don't serve a fair weather God. You serve a faithful God. He's with you unconditionally, even when you make mistakes and blow it. Even when you make wrong decisions. Even when you've stopped trusting in him, he's still there in the shadows. ready to come to you whenever you call on him. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So many people who you had as friends through the years, friends for years and years and years, and then one day they died. One day they got into an argument, and you've never seen them again. People will not necessarily always be with us. The people at the beginning of the ride don't always stay on to the last stop. But not God. He doesn't abandon you. As the rainbow, his promise never to flood the whole earth again is inscribed in the sky for all to see. His pledge to keep his promises to you personally are inscribed in his many names. And so I'd like to give you 7 examples of what those Hebrew names can mean to you today on your walk and in your times. Number 1, Jehovah Jireh. You know this one. The God who provides, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. What are they? What are your needs? What do you need? Some people think that's a jacket. Some people think that's clothing. Some people think that's food. So yeah, Maslow said we have this hierarchy of needs. We have the need for the basics, for safety and security and shelter and food. We have those needs, but God promises to meet more than those. He's promised to meet you when you are emotionally distraught. He's promised to meet you when you're undergoing a new challenge. You got a new job. You're scared to death of all the implications behind it. He's going to go with you with that. He's going to meet your need to have some confidence as you go into that new job. He's going to be with you as an opportunity opens up for the first time after you've been praying for months and years, maybe in some cases. God's going to be there. When you're going through some of those times when you feel afraid, when you feel like life is closing in on you, when you feel that something so bad has happened in your life that you'll never recover from it, God says that's not true. The devil says it's the truth, and God says it's a lie. You will recover. You must hold on. You must not give up. He will provide. He will supply whatever it is that you need to get through today, and that's how you want to do it, one day at a time. And stand back and watch what he does. Secondly, Jehovah Rapha, the miracle healer, Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that heals thee spiritually. People who have walked away from God or forgotten God, and they need a spiritual healing. Kind of got to the point where you're more apathetic now about God than you were a year ago or 2 years ago. That's a place in your spiritual walk that needs to be healed. Your love for God's word, your desire to get into God's word and study it each and every day, and you don't have that desire, you don't have that burning desire in your heart, that's a place that needs to be healed. You don't want to be part of the fellowship of believers and assembling together, as the scripture says we need to be. That's a place in your spiritual walk that needs to be healed. Not only that, but you may have emotional problems. You may have emotional distress. You may be feeling lonely, afraid. That's a place that needs to be healed. And of course, physical healing. And sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and it seems like nothing is ever going to change in that situation. And when that physical healing doesn't come, then something else has got to change in order for us to deal with it, and that's us. Sometimes we have to change in order to be able to deal with it. And whatever it needs, whatever is needed to go into that transition, to recognizing that certain things are the way they're going to be, that we need to know that the one who never changes is watching over us. Ultimate healing, go home to be with the Lord. Number 3, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Isaiah 26:3, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. What does that mean? You can't think of 2 things at the same time. It's not possible. So you can let worry fill your mind and occupy and preoccupy your days and nights. You can let stress and anxiety dominate, Or you can focus on the promises of God found in His Scripture. Or you can focus on the promise that He's given us in Isaiah 9:6, that He is the Prince of Peace. And you can say, Lord, You've promised me peace through this time, not to be overwhelmed with despair, not to be a prisoner of my own negativism, not to allow stinking thinking to take over my mind, but to allow Your positive promises and truths be dominant in my head. Let me think of those things. Number four, Jehovah Rahi, the shepherd God. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And there are so many personal pronouns in the 23rd Psalm. He is my. He's yours. You have access to the creator of the universe. He's your God. He's your shepherd. He's your daddy. He's your best friend. This is the kind of relationship we have with God. It's not all up here. It's all here. He shows Himself to us in so many ways. We need a shepherd to navigate us through life's changes and opportunities and confusion and uncertainty. We need a God who is never changing. In a life where everything seems to be going in that direction, He's the shepherd that navigates us through life's difficult times. He wants to be your guide. He gives us the Holy Spirit for that purpose. The Holy Spirit is our guard and our guide. Number five, Jehovah Goel Ekka, my Redeemer. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, there is an opportunity for you to have a fresh start spiritually. God is the God of new beginnings. You may have walked away from Him, but He hasn't walked away from you. He's the one that promises you salvation, not based on how hard you work, not based on how good you are, not based on how many rules you follow, not based on whether you can keep the Ten Commandments or not, not based on how many good things you do to overcome all the bad things. God's not keeping track of that. And unless you hire an accountant just to keep track of the things that you've done that are good over the things that you've done bad, you have no idea. You have no idea. And if you're basing your future in eternity on whether your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, and you don't even know where you stand, you have no hope and no assurance. God says there's nothing you can do to earn salvation, and there's nothing you can do to lose it. The only way you can have salvation, only way that the doors of heaven open to you, is by putting your faith and your trust in the crucified Christ, knowing that He was dead and buried and rose again. He stands at the right hand of His Father, making intercession for you. Believest thou these things? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This body is corrupted. It will go into the grave. But what really makes you who you are, the real you in here looking out, is never going to die. And God will bring that to fruition. Number six, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. Matthew 1:2, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the one constant in a constantly changing world. And it feels like every day we're being turned upside down, doesn't it? It feels like what was true in the past is now not true. What was right in the past is now wrong. Or what's wrong in the past is now right. It just feels so confusing because, due in part to technology, we get more information thrown in our face faster than ever before in human history. And our brains are not just able to keep up with it all. And so it feels very unsettling. And when everything feels very unsettled and very confused and constantly changing under your feet like quicksand, there's only one place to go that's sure and constant, and that's the book. Hasn't changed in 2,000 years. People may want to change. They might want to take away from it. They might want to add to it. They want to make a, they may want to say, well, it says that, but here's what it really means. No, let's just believe it and forget it, right? Let's just believe what God said and accept what he says and claim what he says and receive what he says and go on believing like that. Let's have that kind of simple faith. The kind of simple faith that keeps your feet on the ground. The kind of simple faith that gives you a sense of security. The kind of simple faith that gives you hope beyond the grave. The kind of simple faith that is liberating and freeing and forgiving and filled with love that only God can give. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. And what does the creator of the universe say after that in a short couple of words? And I call you friends. I'm sure that Muhammad must have had a lot of acquaintances, but could he call all of his followers friends? I don't think so. Number 7, Jehovah El Shaddai, God Almighty, Genesis 17, I am the Almighty God. When you're weak, he is strong. When you're not up to the task or the circumstance, he'll supplement your weakness with his strength. When you only have on a scale of 1 to 10, 2, well, he'll bring in the other 8. And you'll jump through the barometer and you'll be able to handle what circumstance comes in your life. You can handle this. You can do this. With God's help, you can do this. How do I know? Because I've experienced some of those things myself. Things that I thought I could never get through. Experiences, health situations, pain, whatever it is that comes into a person's life, we can get through it. The best time to come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior is to begin to learn and trust his promises when you are young. I'm glad I accepted Jesus when I was a kid. I'm glad I started studying God's word when I was 15 years old. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The most important truth and promise God would have us to remember is the promise he made to provide his only son as a savior to a sin-sick world. Let me read that to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read in respect to God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. Let me read for you. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You may be seated. Remember, you see, if we didn't do the service of the bread and the cup, if we didn't have communion, we would soon begin to forget what it is and all the implications of what he did on that cross for us. And that's one of those things, it's too important to forget. Just think about what Jesus did. He left a throne in heaven for a manger on earth. He exchanged an immortal, glorious body for the inferior flesh of a dying humanity. He stepped off the golden streets of glory to walk the dusty streets of Jerusalem. He left the company of angels who worshiped him to rub shoulders with men who would betray him, beat him, spit on him, and murder him. He closed the door on heaven's haven of health to walk through the door of earth's infirmary of the sick, the possessed, the depressed, the bewildered. But in his love and compassion, he stopped, stooped, touched, and healed every infirmity he encountered. Every attempt that Jesus made to heal was successful. He healed everyone who needed his touch. And finally, he left the mountaintop of the universe to be nailed to a cross standing on a garbage heap. He forgave his accusers, his assaulters, his enemies, and his disloyal friends. He bore the sins of the world on his shoulders. He bled the essence of life, his blood, so that whoever would receive him would become the sons and daughters of God. In the closing moments of Jesus' earthly ministry and his earthly life, The word remember appears. The picture, three crosses, Jesus in the middle, a thief on either side. And the one thief turns to Jesus and pleads, Lord, remember. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, today you shall be with me in paradise. Did Jesus keep that promise? Yes, he did. He makes the same promise to anyone who will put faith and trust in him and follow him. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promise made and the promise will be kept. When you say good night down here, you'll say good morning up there. You can count on it. You know where you're going when you die. There's no doubt in the mind of the true believer that there is life in heaven after this. I would not want to be standing here in front of you or sitting here in front of another pastor, not knowing that because of what Jesus done, that I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't know how people can do it. I don't know how people can be so uncertain, not be sure, or hope that they're going to be in heaven one day. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is 2020. We have an opportunity to see God's promises more clearly. We can have 2020 vision in 2020 and see God for what his promises truly are. Promises made, promises kept, and all you have to do is remember. God bless you. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.